Tonight we sang together that great and well-known hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. The hymn itself was composed by a man called John Newton. John Newton was born in London, and his father was a sea captain. His mother was one who loved the Lord with all of her heart. But sadly, when he was 7 years old, tragedy and death and sorrow came into his home, because his mother passed away. What an impact it had in his life. The mother that he loved, the mother that prayed for him, now was gone. He had this burning then ambition in his heart to go to sea. He set out to work with his father on the boats or the ships when he was 11 years old. He began a career that would last him for about 20 years. But he learned many lessons in life, and some of the things he learned were good and some things were bad. He learned how to sin. He lived a wild life, a life full of wickedness and sin. He had a stubborn and he had a rebellious heart within him. He fought with his father. He clashed with his employers. He was flogged for desertion. And finally, he ended up in jail. And after he was released, you thought, well, he learned his lesson. Listen, jail will not learn you much lessons. Jail doesn't change too many people. It's Christ that changes people. And this man found himself in prison. He found himself in bondage. But when he got out, he was even worse than he was before. And he started to work in a terrible trade of slavery, picking up people and selling them for money and for treasure of this world. What a poor, what a miserable, wretched sinner John Newton was. But remember this. He had a mother years before this, no doubt, who loved Christ and who prayed for him. Sometimes God's in no hurry to answer prayers. She would have prayed for her son. And you know, God heard. The Bible talks about the Lord has been our prayers like incense before him. And the Bible tells us, history tells us, that it was the year 748. He found himself in a great storm. The boat was shaken up and down. The waves were crashing against the sides of the ship. They felt they were going down to the very depths of the ocean. He felt like all the other people that everything is going to be lost. He was waking up by the hand of God. And out there in the sea, in all of that storm, he started to think of God. He started to think of God's mercy. Him and his other men had tried everything they could in order to stable the ship. But he saw naturally and physically there's no hope. Only for God's mercy. He said, if this will not do, then the Lord have mercy upon us. And as he cried, he thought about God's mercy. And he says, what mercy can there be for me? He wondered. But you know something, he thought of God's mercy. And he found God's mercy. And he was gloriously and he was wondrously saved. Now, if you're ever up in Buncrana, up in County Donegal, I happened to be up around there on Easter Monday. And I was driving into the town, I saw a sign and it says, the Amazing Grace Country. Well, I said to myself, I wonder what that's all about. Didn't know. And then when I was standing looking over the lock, Swilly there, I saw signs away down towards the seashore, and on the way down to look, and you know, it was a story of John Newton, what I've told you. Because it was out there on the shore that this all happened to him, and it tells us there, written down before everyone to read, when he came off the ship, he was a changed man. He was changed. I say to you tonight, what changed this man? How was it this man who was a blasphemer, who was filthy, who was a vile sinner in the sight of God, now he walks off this ship, he's cleansed, he's a new man. he found Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he proved it. He lived a great life after that. He preached the gospel, wrote many hymns. Of course, that famous hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And you can see the words here of this hymn and the words of our text, but just together. I was blind, but now I see. And that's what I want to speak on tonight, that this man, given his testimony, listen, it's a short testimony. It's a simple testimony. It is a sincere testimony. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, but now, at this particular moment, he says, I see. I want us to look at this together tonight. You can see in the words of his testimony, he testified to his awful condition. And listen to the testimony of this man about the state that he once was in. I was in blind. I was blind. He is in no doubt as he spoke the words of this testimony. There's no ifs, there's no buts about the way he used to be. This man knew how he used to be. He knew how he used to live. He knew how it used to be with his sight. He says, well, I was blind. He's a man, he says, one time I was in darkness. I never saw the light of day. He never had seen the sea. He had never seen even the face of his parents, because in verse 18, the Pharisees, they called the parents on to him and asked questions. How is it this man, this son of yours, how is it he can see? This man had never even seen the face of his mother or his father, or if he had any brothers or any sisters, his neighbors, his friends. He had never set his eyes on anyone, and here's the reason why. He was blind. And the person who's blind, listen, is in darkness. He never saw anyone. He never saw nature. He never saw the sun. He never saw the sky. He was blind. He said, he's in darkness. You can think about his darkness and his distress, because what distress and discomfort it would have caused this man in his life. It would have affected his walk, because in verse 8 says that he sat. You see, blindness affected him greatly. He was very limited in his movement. Well, we know today they can do certain things for blind people, and we're glad to see that. But in those days, there was no such help. This man was sitting, and if ever was going to walk, someone had to take him. Someone had to lead him to his home, to the synagogue, wherever he was going. We think of Job. He was speaking about his life, and Job said in Job 29 verse 15, I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. And Job was saying, well, there was a time I helped the blind people. I came alongside them. I laid hold upon them. I took them by the arm. I took them by the hand, and I was eyes to the blind. And no doubt this man had affected his walk. The Bible says he's sitting. It affected his work as well. Verse 8 said, listen, he sat and begged. He's begging. He's not out in the fields working. He's not in some business. No, it's impossible. It's impossible for this man to work. The only thing this man could do because of his blindness, well, he's begging. And when people are going past, he's crying out from the depth of his heart. He said, well, listen, help me. Someone help me. I am blind. That I need help. That's all he could do. He couldn't be employed by any man. You see, he's in darkness. He's in distress. You think of Mark chapter 10, verse 46, about blind Bartimaeus. It says, and a great number, and they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples. This is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to Jericho. And a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. There it is again. What's a blind man doing in the Bible? Well, he's begging. He can't work. Can't see to work. No one wants him to work. He's not unemployed. The only thing they can do is sit outside and they beg. So he was blind. It affected him greatly. You think about the duration here of his blindness. You can see in verse 1, and it tells us, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man, notice, which was blind from his birth. He was born blind. Verse 20. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, listen, and that he was born blind. It was not that this young fellow had an accident when he was 12 years old. Something happened and he lost his sight. That has been a misfortune to happen to some people in our maybe a community in this land. Certainly in the world, there are people who had their sight, who were brought into this world. They had perfect sight. And something happened and they lost their sight. But it was not so with this man here that comes across the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear about this. It tells us he was blind from his birth. From his birth. From the very moment he came into this world. That's how he was. And you think of that day. That day when this child, this little son was born into this family. No doubt it brought great joy to the parents. A child is born, the news would have run about the neighborhood, that so and so, they've had a son. People would have rejoiced. But can you imagine the change in the community? When word gets around about, listen, you know so and so up the road, the little son born? He's blind. He's blind. And I'm saying to you, this awful condition that this man was in. And as he viewed his past life here, remember, speaking here to the Pharisees, as he viewed his past life, he says, I once was blind. I was in darkness. I was in distress. I was lost. He was spiritually blind. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He had spiritual blindness, of course, as well. He couldn't see Christ. He couldn't come to Christ. Couldn't see his sin. You see, listen. I was blind. I was blind. And this is what this man was saying about his testimony, his awful condition. I was blind. And that's a testimony of every child of God in this meeting. There was a time in our life we were blind. We were in darkness. We couldn't see the things of God clearly. The Bible says in Matthew 4 verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. There are people tonight and they're blinded by the God of this world. Blinded because of their sin. They cannot see the things of God. They cannot see the creation of God. I know when I do door-to-door work, and did door-to-door work in England, and in Scotland, I met many people who said to me, there's no God. And there's many people said that to me. So I'm doing the doors and I says, well, do you go to church and so on? And says, no. Do you believe in God? And says, no, I don't. I look at them and I said, can I ask you a very simple question? They says, you can. I said, here's me going around telling people about God and Jesus Christ. And you say, well, there's no God. I said, that's right. I says, I'll ask you this question. What's your proof there's no God? What's your proof? And you believe this or not, it stumped a lot of people. They couldn't answer me. Then they said to me, well, what's your proof there is? And I said, hold on a wee minute. I asked you first. You said to me there's no God, and I'm asking you, what's your proof? And a lot of people said to me, I haven't got any. Well, I says, I'll tell you what I believe. And I tell them about creation. For the Bible says, you see, there in the Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And I said, well, take a look up into the heavens. The Bible says God made the heavens and the earth. Well, there's many people, even though you explain all of these things to them and tell them about Jesus Christ and the gospel and how I was saved, there are many people know what to say. I can't see it. I just can't see it. There's something wrong with such a person. They're blinded. Maybe you work with people And you preach to them. You tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they say to you, I just can't see it. Listen. They're blinded. I was the same. And child of God, you're the same. Maybe there's some here tonight in this meeting and you're far away from God and you're in your sin. You're blinded. You're in darkness. Maybe you cannot even see your sin. You cannot see that you're lost in God's sight. I was speaking to a fellow the other day and I was witnessing to him and telling him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said to him, where do you think you're going to go when you die? You know what he said to me? He said he hoped to go to heaven. Well, the fellow has an awful wicked life. Living in great sin even to this very day. Of course, we try to put him right on it. There's something wrong with such people. They cannot see their sin. They cannot see that they're lost in God's sight. They cannot see there's a great eternity. And many people say we live, we die, and we're put into a hole in the ground, and that's the end of us. Listen, there's something wrong with those people. They're blinded. They're blinded by the God of this world. And Revelation 3 verse 17 says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that I am wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And this man has given his testimony and he says, I was blind. I ask you tonight before we move on, this is your testimony. You're an honest woman, or man in this meeting, an honest boy, an honest girl, and say, well, I am blinded, of course. I know I'm lost. I know I am in darkness. I know I'm far away from Christ. I know if I die as I am, I'll go down to hell for all eternity. I'm glad the Lord has showed you those things. But dear friends, we're blinded. Born in sin, the Bible says, and shaping in iniquity. It doesn't matter what home you're from. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. This is the state of all men. I was blind. And it was true of my life and true of every child of God tonight in this meeting. I was blind. This was his awful, awful testimony. Awful condition. I once was blind. Happy you are tonight. Sit in the meeting. Sing these old fashioned gospel hymns. Happy you are tonight. You're still sitting. In darkness. In your sin. Far away from God. And heading down towards hell. I trust the Lord will change all that. This is how John Newton once was. This is how this man in this passage that we've been reading about here tonight is how I myself once was in the sight of God and many of God's people here tonight. Once I was blind. His awful condition. Could I say to you about his astounding cure? For listen how he continues. This is his short word of testimony. He says here, whereas I was blind, but now I see. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now, something remarkable has happened unto this man. He says, I was blind, but now I see. I was in darkness, now I am in the light. I was lost, but he says, now I am found. And I ask you tonight, something has happened. What has happened to him? Well, we can see in this passage what happened to him. What was the wonderful change in his life? It was Jesus Christ. That's what changed him. And you find here is a sounding cure, the passing of Christ. Look at chapter 8, verse 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him. This was the Jews. But Jesus himself went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so, listen, passed by. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, the Lord Jesus is being persecuted by his enemies. They didn't like Christ. They didn't like the things he was doing. They didn't like the words he was saying. But as he was passing by, you know what it's called? It's called the providence of God. Nothing happens by chance. There was a man there the Lord Jesus knew that needed help. It was this man. The man himself knew nothing about this. He was in darkness. But the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by. There's a man who needed help. There's a man who needed healing. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he passes by, you see. Well, we sing that great hymn. Is there a heart that is waiting? Longing for pardon today. Hear the glad message proclaiming Jesus is passing this way. And you see, we come together here tonight in this meeting. Jesus is passing this way. He's passing by. We're all passing by, of course, through this world very, very quickly. But when we come together, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, says the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is passing by tonight. We're living the day of opportunity. The day where you can be saved and brought to faith in Jesus Christ. He's passing by. He was passing by this man. And so we have Christ passing him by. We have the perception of Christ also. But you notice in verse 1, notice this. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from birth. The Lord Jesus Christ saw this man. Remember this? This man couldn't see him. But the Lord Jesus could see this man. He saw his state. He saw his struggle. He saw his sight. He saw his sin. He saw his soul. The Lord Jesus looked. He saw this man. He saw everything about him. You know, tonight in this meeting, the Lord Jesus sees everything about you and everything about me. There's nothing. There's nothing we can hide from him. You know, unsaved in this meeting tonight, he knows all about your sin, your thoughts, your words, your actions, your deeds, every one you've ever committed against God. The Lord Jesus knows them all. He sees you tonight. Now he sees your state, lost, blinded, darkness. He sees your sin. You see your struggle. Maybe you're fighting with conviction of sin tonight. Should I come to Jesus Christ and be saved? He sees your struggle. If the Lord Jesus had not saw this man, he would have been passed by. But he saw him. I hope tonight the Lord Jesus will see you. His eye, his gaze will fall upon your heart tonight. You see, the Lord Jesus was passing by. The passing of Christ, the perception of Christ, the passion of Christ is given. Because verse 2, we find here about the disciples. He says, this said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples, the chief men in the church of Jesus Christ, they saw this man as well. But listen here tonight, they were more interested in his sin than his soul. They said, why is he blind? Was it this man's sin, or was it something his parents had done? It was nothing of the sort, of course. But the Lord Jesus saw something different. He saw what this man needed, you see. And his heart, his love went out to the man sitting begging by the side of a road in darkness and being lost, you see. Oh, we sing that hymn, there's no love like a love of Jesus. For that great hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. The Lord Jesus, great love for sinners. I never forget the day that truth, simple truth, came to my heart. Myself, the Lord Jesus loved me. And that he died for me. I tell you, it was great news to my heart. And you say, well, I know it all the time and hear it all the time, but you know what it's like to hear it for the first time when you're lost in sin and far away from God. That Jesus loves me. And he gave himself for me. And he died upon the cross to take away my sin. He shed his precious blood. There's no love like the love of Christ. The Lord Jesus had a great love for this man. There he is in darkness. In his weakness, in a sense he felt he was useless, but he was loved. Maybe someone here tonight feels the same way. You feel forsaken. You feel lost. You feel that no one cares. Listen, the Lord Jesus loves sinners tonight. You get the boys and girls to sing that great hymn. Yes, Jesus loves me. I want you to think of that tonight. You all converted in this meeting about the love of Jesus Christ. And so we have the Passion of Christ here in this astounding cure. Then we have the procedure of Christ. You can see how he went about it. And the procedure, he's seeking the clay, because he says in verse 6, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Well, the Lord Jesus gets his clay and he spits on it and he mixes it all up and he puts it onto the eyes of this man. And I want you to think of this. Anybody would have said, you're making things worse. The man cannot see. And you're taking mud, you're taking clay, and you're rubbing this into his eyes. Surely this cannot work. But I want to say to you tonight, this is how the Lord Jesus Christ was going to heal this man. It may seem strange, but it is the way of Christ. It's not the same with the message of the cross. It seems strange to people that we preach Christ and him crucified. That we preach salvation through the blood, forgiveness through the blood. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And we preach in the streets, we do door-to-door evangelism, we hold gospel meetings and gospel campaigns, and we preach salvation through the blood. And to a lot of people, they say it's nonsense. But I want to say it tonight. It may have seemed like foolishness to some people, but it's God's ordained way to save people. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the Lord Jesus gets this clay and he puts it on his eyes. And then there was a command. He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And then we find the conduct, because he says he went his way. Verse 7, therefore, and washed. And listen, he came seeing. He listened to the voice of Jesus Christ. And he listened to the command of Christ. He says, go and wash. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went. And listen, he washed. And immediately, something's happened to him. Darkness dispelled from his mind and from his eyes. He opened up his eyes, and this man who was blind from birth, he could see. He could see clearly. The Bible says, verse 7, and he came seeing. He was transformed. I think of the joy that would have filled his heart. That's why he says, I was blind, but now I see. Why is it you can see? I met Jesus Christ. He called me to himself. He anointed my eyes with clay. He told me to go to the pool and wash. And I obeyed him. I obeyed every word he said. And I went and washed. And now I can see. This is the sounding cure that this man had in his life. It's all to do with Christ. It's all to do with him. And I say to you tonight, unsaved person, your only hope for salvation for eternity is Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, repent of your sin and believe the gospel. Come to me and I will wash away all of your sin in my precious blood. I will give you everlasting life. But have you obeyed him? You're never going to be saved if you do not obey the call of the gospel. You don't obey the command of the gospel to repent from your sin and trust Christ with all of your heart. You'll never be saved. You'll never see. I tell you tonight, the only one who could help this man was Jesus Christ. The only one who can save you is Christ. Don't depend on the minister of this church. Don't depend on the Free Presbyterian Church to get you to heaven. Listen, don't depend on any church to get you to heaven. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you must come to him. You must trust him with all of your heart, and he will save you. The Lord Jesus cleansed and saved this man. Brought him from darkness. Brought him to the light, friends. He says, I was blind. Listen,
But now see, the Lord Jesus opened his eyes. Here's a sounding cure. And I can say, we could ask people tonight to stand up, but we're not going to do such things. But there are many people tonight could stand up and say, I was blind. But now see, not great. Not a great day in your life experience. You're in darkness. You were in sin. You were in trouble. You were heading down towards hell. And you came to Jesus Christ. Just the way you were in all your sin. And the Lord Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And he took you in. Now you see. Maybe you're here tonight, you haven't got that testimony. You've never come to Christ. I pray tonight you will come to him. I want this testimony of this man to be your testimony. I was blind. But now see. Can I say lastly about his absolute certainty in his testimony? For he says, one thing I know. Not one of them. We can overlook those words that this man said here in verse 25. One thing I know. He knew this, of course. It was impossible not for this man to know. We see this in his words. He knew that he was blind, but now he can see. There's no argument in his heart. There's no doubts in his heart about this matter. He knows. He knows, you see. I was blind, but now I see. You see his words about Christ in verse 11. He says, there's a man called Jesus. In verse 17, he asks him, well, who is he? He says, well, he's a prophet. In verse 35 and verse 36, he says, the Son of God. Well, this man's had his eyes opened, you see. The absolute certainty of this. He says, one thing I know. You see it in his, not his words, his witness. See in verse 8. It says about the people. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? They could see this. In verse 21, his parents saw the change as well in this man, that he was, listen, blind, but now he could see. His worship in verse 38, the Lord Jesus says it was, I believe in the Son of God. And he said in verse 38, sorry, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. You see, here's absolute certainty what has taken place in this man. He says, there's one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now see. We can know we're saved and go to heaven. Maybe you're filled with doubts tonight. Get to the Bible. It's only the Bible can give us assurance, absolute assurance. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And we can say these words with great certainty. I was blind, but now I see. I saw the valley of my sin. I saw I was lost. I saw Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. And I came to him and I asked him to save me and give me everlasting life. And he saved me. And there's one thing I know. I tell you tonight, there are many things I don't know. Sometimes we talk about school, and I never learned an awful lot of school. But there's one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now see. Brought from darkness to light by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's one thing I know. And that's the most important thing to know. Do you know that tonight, in closing? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know you're prepared for death? We're going to die someday. Who knows, by this time next week, there could be some people in this congregation would pass away this week. But do you know? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you made preparation for the grave? Have you made preparation for eternity? You can know these things. We don't have to guess. We don't have to hope. I hope I'm going to heaven. Some people say when you talk about heaven, well, I hope. Here's a man. He wasn't hoping. He knew. You can know you're saved by coming to Jesus Christ. Trusting him. As I said to you, John Newton was a changed man. As you say, that sign up in Bunkrana. You can go look at it yourself. He came off the ship. Listen, a changed man. He knew he was changed. The people who knew him, knew there was something had happened to him. He went out to preach the gospel.
that he once blasphemed and ran away from. He knew. The people knew. Listen, if your conversion doesn't change you, it's not worth too much, friends. It changes you. And there's one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Not a great blessing to be able to sell that child of God to your own heart tonight. I was blind, but now I see. And one day I will see Christ in all his glory. And we'll dwell in Emmanuel's land. And oh dear unsaved person, we want you to be there. We want you to come to Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. We don't want you to lose your soul for all eternity in hell. But turn and believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall receive. Trust him with all of your heart tonight, and he will save you. And then this will be your testimony. I once was blind, but now see. If I can help you, speak with me after the meeting. If you have doubts and fears, speak with me as well. If you're a backslider, speak with me. Speak with some of the elders, committee men of a church, or elders. Don't go home tonight till you've made peace with God. For Jesus is passing this way. Amen. Let's pray.